Cole Porter was an American composer and songwriter in the 20s and 30s. He wrote a worldwide hit song for one of his musicals. The lyrics go like this. This funny thing called love, just who can solve its mystery? That's why I asked the Lord in heaven above, what is this thing called love? It became a jazz standard covered by many incredible artists, including Nat King Cole. Personally, I prefer Ella Fitzgerald's rendition. The song resonated then, and Cole's question remains relevant today. What is this thing called love? Decades later, the song What Is Love became an iconic 90s anthem. When the artist Hathaway was asked in one interview what he meant by his question, his answer was simple. Everyone needs to define love in their own way. It's unique and it's individual. In our culture, often love stands for everything and anything you want to make it. So the question remains relevant. What is love? Love in the first century had many different dimensions to it. The Greeks had four different words for love that can help us with our question. The most familiar word was phileo. This is a brotherly kind of love. The Bible says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Phileo is the love you have for friends. It is born of common interests, likes, and common dreams. Another word for love that was common in the ancient world was eros. It is sensual or sexual love. This romantic type of love is what is most written about, sung about, and acted out in our culture. Storge is family love, the affection you feel for parent, daughter, brother, or grandparent. And then there is the word agape, a word that was rarely used in the first century. But the Apostle Paul used this word in the New Testament because it captured the essence of love we experience in Jesus. Agape love is the highest form of love, a supreme love. It can be defined as actively working for the good and honor of another without any expectation of receiving anything in return. Well, we've just started a new series on what it looks like to bear the fruit of the Spirit, and love is first on the list. I'll be using the word agape a lot in my message today, and I hope it stays with you throughout this coming week and beyond. Agape. A couple of weeks ago, we celebrated Easter, and it was the resurrection of Jesus that makes love possible. As Ken mentioned in his message, when Jesus appeared to his disciples on the first Easter, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." This changed everything. The presence of God's Spirit entered into our souls and made it possible for us to experience an elevated form of love for the purpose of loving others. As we uncovered last week, the fruit of the Spirit is singular. This is deliberate to describe the various characteristics of Jesus that grow in a Spirit-filled person. As many theologians would agree, love is the fruit of the Spirit, and there are eight characteristics of love. Visually, we can see this demonstrated in an iconic prism design. Love enters into the prism, and the fruits of the Spirit are expressed as various life-giving colors. Metaphorically, this is the agape love of the Holy Spirit beaming into the prism and dispersing the fruit of the Spirit. As the prolific writer on spiritual formation, Dallas Willard, articulated, agape is the lifeline to the life of God. Toward the end of his letter to the churches in the region of Galatia, now modern-day Turkey, the Apostle Paul is having a corrective conversation. As he draws a contrast between what the sinful nature craves and what the Spirit gives, he reminds them of the centrality of agape love. the Apostle Paul writes, "For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Paul exhorts the Galatians to let the Holy Spirit guide their lives. By Paul's use of the words bite and devour, we see there were relational conflicts in the churches. The young Christ followers needed to see that the way in which they were relating to one another was evidence that they were still enslaved. By quoting one central commandment from the Old Testament, Paul captures their calling to live agape. It's all summed up with love your neighbor as yourself. What really counted the most was faith expressing itself through love. This could be realized by allowing the power of God's Spirit to direct their lives as they served one another in love. The alternative was for them to live by human impulses and continue to run into relational disagreements. Last week, we learned that when we walk in the way of the Spirit, we don't gratify acts like envy, outbursts of anger, hatred, sexual immorality, and selfish ambition. Our sinful nature, or the desires of the flesh, is that part of us that resides within, that craves to live outside the will of God. But when we walk by the Spirit, we come to know a better way of living. The loving presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives enables us to bear fruit. As one pastor demonstrates, agape love activates the fruit of the Spirit. Joy is love enjoying. Peace is love resting. Patience is love waiting. Kindness is love reaching. Goodness is love choosing. Faithfulness is love keeping its word. Gentleness is love being able to empathize. Self-control is love being in charge. So what is love? Love is supernatural. Agape is not natural. It can only be produced by the presence of the Holy Spirit. When I grew up as a young boy, grown-ups would talk about the Holy Ghost, because at the time, the popular translation referred to the Holy Spirit in that way. At the time, I wanted to keep my distance from ghosts. I liked the idea of God the Father and Jesus the Son, but the Holy Ghost, I was unsure. Until later in life, I discovered the idea of being a Ghostbuster and how fun that could be. That eccentric trio of parapsychologists starting a ghost-catching business in New York City seemed like a lot of fun to me. But I've come to discover that the Holy Spirit is as much a person as Jesus. God sent the Holy Spirit into our life so we could experience His love and be shaped into the characteristics of His Son. It's amazing. Every Christian has a person of the Trinity living within them. The Holy Spirit is an active person within our spirit, giving us guidance and direction and how we should live. I've come to discover that the role and responsibility of the Holy Spirit is to point to Jesus. He never talks about Himself. It's always about Jesus. What is relevant for us is that his presence in our lives makes it possible for us to transcend natural love and show his supernatural love to others. Agape love is not primarily a love of the emotions, but a mindset. It transcends to a higher level than our natural inclinations. So what is love? Love is transformative. Using the analogy of a fruit tree, which we considered last week, if a fruit tree is alive and healthy to bear fruit, then its roots are being nourished by soil, water, and the sunlight. When we give in to what our sinful nature craves, we are walking outside of the sunlight and the will of God. Our natural tendency is to live outside of God's design for us. In verse 19, the Apostle Paul lists various desires of our sinful nature, such as lustful pleasures, idolatry, hostility, discord, jealousy, and outbursts of anger. Anger, as an example, is a completely normal human emotion. In the movie Inside Out, anger was depicted as one of each person's core five emotions. The animated film showed us that while each of these emotions had an important purpose, they could also run out of control, resulting in significant damage to those affected. Beyond just a movie, when anger is invited in to take up permanent residence within you, it will control and organize your life. Love is the very same way. When love is invited in to take up residence within you, and you allow it to permeate your mind, flow through your body, and influence your relationships, it will control and organize your entire life. By surrendering your will to love, you can cultivate the soil and pour the water and look to the sunlight so that the fruit of your life will flourish. If you do take in anger to rule your heart, it will make a place for Satan. Paul warned the Christians in Ephesus in his letter to them. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. In contrast, you can make a place for God by what Paul said really counted the most: faith expressing itself through love. Faith expressing itself through love opens us up to a life with God. As we act in agape love, we learn to trust it and move away from letting natural desires like pleasures that are lustful, idolatry, and discord take control. The Christian life is surrendering to the control of agape love. We experience transformation when we surrender all the areas of our life to God's Spirit that indwells us. And by God's grace, we can become possessed by his love. So how can we cultivate the soil of our lives so fruit will flourish? One practical way would be to replace our natural thinking by scripture memorization. When you take scripture in, it actively works to deal with your thoughts and desires by replacing them. In scripture, we are exhorted this way: study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. God's truth can be absorbed by our mind and thoughts. As it diffuses and spreads into our personality, it changes us. The action of our lives can express the life of Jesus through our fruitfulness. Christian teacher David Benner says, "Learning to desire God's will is not something we can accomplish by resolve and willpower. It occurs only when we live so close to God's heart that the rhythm of our own heartbeat comes to reflect the divine pulse. To walk by the Spirit is to live in reliance, moment by moment, ready to respond to God's voice and will. We are walking by the Spirit when we listen and actively follow. The shorter the time between when the Holy Spirit asks us to do something and our response to do it is a measure of our spiritual maturity. We can grow in our reliance on the Spirit by cultivating a mindset. In the book of Romans, we read, "Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit." What things do you think about? Your mindset will help you surrender to love and seek what is good in every situation. So what is love? Love is redemptive. As a civil rights activist committed to nonviolence, Martin Luther King Jr. was frequently asked by his supporters, "What do you mean when you tell us to love these people who are beating on us and bombing our houses and kicking our children around? What in the world do you mean when you say love such people?" In response, he would remind his followers that they were loving their enemies because God was loving their enemies. He taught enemy love as a bigger kind of love that moved beyond human capacity and impulse. Agape does that. It moves beyond capacity. Martin Luther King Jr. saw agape as creative, redemptive goodwill for all, as an overflowing love which sought nothing in return. He also believed agape could lead people to deliverance eventually. This may be a good place to reflect on the reality that agape love is not natural. It is not natural to love people that hate you over and over, expecting nothing in return. Agape love is supernatural and unique to the Christian. It is important to remember that growth is gradual. It takes time. It is less about doing and more about becoming. Fruit can flourish in all of our lives, even when we feel we struggle with the gap between who we are and who we want to become. As one author illustrates how we can witness the power of God's Spirit at work when we rephrase the virtues of love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. "I am patient with you because I love you and want to forgive you. I am kind to you because I love you and want to help you. I do not envy your possessions or your gifts because I love you and I want you to have the best. I do not boast about my attainments because I love you and want to hear about yours. I am not proud because I love you and I want to esteem you before myself. I am not rude because I love you and care about your feelings. I am not self-seeking because I love you and want to meet your needs. I am not easily angered by you because I love you and I want to overlook your offenses. I do not keep a record of your wrongs because I love you and love covers over a multitude of sins." Last week, Ken suggested we keep our Bibles open at Galatians 5:22. As a practical reminder to pray at the same time each day, that you'd be filled with the Spirit. You may place your Bible by your bedside or another spot that works for you. Along with that daily prayer exercise, I would like to open up an invitation for those of you who would like to join me in journaling for this series on the fruit of the Spirit. I will be focusing on one fruit of the Spirit each week as we go through the series, by paying attention to the activation of that fruit in my life. As I examine my life throughout the series, I'll journal my observations and pen some prayers. The hope is that I will open myself up more fully to my life with God as I seek to walk by the Spirit. I'm starting this week and would love you to join me. Let me close with Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives.